And we're going to continue today.
Come on, bro.
I want to remind you of what's happened. Jerusalem had been laying in ruins. And Nehemiah was such a great thug for God. What does that stand for, Matthew?
True heroes under God.
True, he was a true hero under God. Since Nehemiah was a thug governor of Jerusalem. And through its leadership, the walls had laid in ruin for nearly 150 years. But were repaired in 52 days. Because he brought the people together to get it done through hardship even. Because that happened, there was safety. There was protection. So that what we're about to read in chapter 8 could take place. Let's read chapter 8. When the seventh month came, right at the beginning, and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as different cool men and women. No. How'd they assemble? One man. They didn't assemble separate culturally, separate because of traditions. They assembled as one. In the square before the water gate. Not to be confused with Nixon. But anyway. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. Interesting how they put that. We're going to talk about that. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon. Oh, man. We need to change the way we do service. We need to start at daybreak from now on. So we should restore that right now, church, right? Right here. As he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And some of the people listened attentively. All listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood those guys, and on his left were the other guys. And in verse 5, Ezra opened the book. And the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Now that's pretty awesome. Let me just, on a side note here. Both my brothers went to college at Texas A&M University. When they have football games there, they get 80, 90,000 people. To watch a football game. It's a religion in Texas. And it's the tradition. All the A&M fans are known as the 12th man. So 11 are on the field, but their fans are the 12th. They add to the team. They stand the entire game in support of their team. The only time they sit, this is kind of evil, is when the visiting team's band performs at halftime. They sit. It's kind of evil right there. I didn't say it's true religion, just religion. Amen. But they stand. These guys were standing from daybreak till noon when the word was open. They stood out of respect for the word. Verse 6, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and some of the people lifted their hands. No, all lifted their hands and responded. Amen. 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 Why twice? Well, it's to show the intensity of the response that they were all with it.
Amen.
Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. There was no apathetic worship. They were involved. The Levites, of many names, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They did their study standing up. They read from the book of the law. Look at this, guys. Making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. This has always been God's purpose. Even though I grew up, maybe you grew up in religions where the services are done in Latin in America where nobody can understand it. Out of tradition. And there's no understanding. It says here, then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Imagine how long it had been since the book of the law was opened in the city of God. It had been a long time. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food, sweet drink, for the Latin festival has begun. And look at this. Send some to those who have nothing prepared. They considered the poor and needy. This day is sacred to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy. Because, look at this. Why? Because they now understood the words that have been made known to them. It's preaching the word that gives people faith. Verse 15. And that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. It's Old Testament evangelism. Amen, guys? Go to verse 17. The whole company that returned from exile built booths and lived in them from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day. The Israelites had not celebrated it like this. They'd celebrated it, but not like this. And there was joy. It was a very great day. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated the feast for 7 days. And on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. I hope it's clear. Our theme from chapter 8, it's very simply proclaiming the law of God. Or in our common vernacular, preach the word. So let's talk about it. Now, we're taught from early on, if you want to understand something, and that's what this is all about, understanding, you got to ask a few questions. Who? What? Where? Why? When? How? So who? Who do you preach the word to? Well, it says it in verse 2. All who can understand. Now, why does it not say children? We're not talking about the animals, amen, guys? Because not all children are old enough to understand. In all cultures, and in America, we have what is known as an age of accountability. In the Jewish culture, it's bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. It's that coming of age as a man or as a woman. And in most cultures, it's around that age of 12, 13, right in that age. Even in America, our society that isn't particularly religious gets it. If you're not a certain age, you've got to have parental consent to get married. Because if you're not a certain age, they go, I don't know if you really understand the commitment involved right here. And when someone commits a crime, it has to be judged. Are they old enough to be tried as an adult or as a juvenile? Do they understand what's going on? It's very special. It's what you're witnessing with Amana today. Because it's very clear to me that she understands what's going on. And for several years, she has been saying, I want to be a missionary in Palestine or Egypt. So much that it would scare her mom there. You know? And it's amazing to see Steve here. You know, Steve came 3 years ago. Right here. And baptized his sister Ginger after praying for her every day for 16 years. And it was on his physical birthday that he baptized her. And now to come back and to hear him say, he's been praying for you since you were a baby every day. That's incredible. I was talking to Bob Sperling right before the service. And I was telling him, Amana's going to get baptized. And he said, is she old enough to understand? I said, well, Amana, come over here. Let's talk to Bob for a minute. And she spoke to Bob for a minute. And I said, now, Bob, how old were you like a year or so ago when you got baptized? He said, I was 84. So I said, amen. There's just like a little 70-year gap right there between your two baptisms. That's pretty awesome. Whether you're 84 or 14. And by the way, Brittany, you were 13, right? When you got baptized. So Amana's older and more mature than Brittany was. I think Brittany's doing pretty good. We're not saying everybody's, when they turn 13, 14, they're ready. They're not. But once you understand what sin is, you're accountable. And once you understand, if I die, I'm going to hell, then God offers you the gift of baptism. So it's very special what's going on today. And then, of course, Amana understands. And everybody that is taught, when they understand, they also understand, now I too have to go preach. From verse 15 to the surrounding areas. So that's who. To who. And then once you get it, who? You got to preach. Amen. What? Well, we already said that. What do you preach? Well, you preach a lot of things today. But what we preach the Word. The Word of God. Verse 2 says, the book of the law of Moses that God commanded. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I think I heard a motor start right there. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, there's an amazing passage here. And of course, Paul's writing to Timothy, who was but a teenager when Paul grabbed him. In 2 Timothy 3:14, it says, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have, what does it say? Learned and have become convinced of. Because you know those from whom you've learned it. And now from infancy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed. This is not the book of man. This is not a collection of opinions or ideals. It's the very law of God that's commanded to be obeyed. This is not just words on a page. If all the Bibles in the world were burnt, it would still exist. It's the living and enduring Spirit of God in word form to transform our lives. All Scripture is God-breathed. It is from the mouth of God. And it says is useful. Like a toothbrush is useful if you use it. You don't. Fellowship might get a little tough in here. If you don't use the Word, it doesn't do any good either. But it's useful for what? For teaching. Rebuking, that's a strong correction. Correction, training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the Word of God. You know, there was a movie out a few months ago that a lot of the brothers and sisters enjoyed. The Book of Eli. And this was heralded as a post-apocalyptic Western. That's pretty cool right there, you know. And of course it's Denzel, and I like Denzel. Pretty much everything he does. But in this movie, every Bible in the world has been destroyed. Except one. And Eli had been called by God to protect it. And get it to a place where it could be mass produced and proclaimed again. And evil people wanted it to use it for bad reasons. But he kept. So it was the book of Eli. Well, it was the book of God. But it was personal. The call was personal. It's not the law of Moses. It's the law of God. It's not the book of Timothy. It's the book of God. But Timothy took it personal. Do you take it personal? Is it your book? Is it the book of Gabe? Right? It's going to be the book of Amana right there. Whether it's here, Palestine, Egypt, you're going to have that book close. You're going to protect it and proclaim it. The Word of God. Where? Where do you proclaim it? Well, verse 3, it was in the city square. Right? Right by the Watergate. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's look in verse 11. 1 Timothy 4:11. Here, Paul writes again to young Timothy. He says, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Amen, Ma? But set an example for the believers in speech, life, love, faith, and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Preaching and teaching. This is awesome. Where should the Bible be read? It should be read in public. Look at Acts 5. In Acts 5, the brothers were getting really persecuted for preaching the Word publicly. In fact, the Jewish leaders wanted to kill them. Until one of their own, Gamaliel, said, hold on guys, don't kill these men and women for preaching the Word. If this is just something of man, it'll disappear. It won't last. But if they are of God, you're going to find that you just might be fighting against God. So they don't kill them. They just beat them severely. And it says here, in Acts 5 verse 40, Gamaliel's speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in, had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they beat you, and then they order you, don't you preach in His name anymore. And they let you go. So what do? You don't want another beating, right? You got to get quiet. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they'd been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts, that's public, guys. And from house to house, that's private. They never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. So where do you preach? Anywhere and everywhere. Downtown, since school is out, you know, Joel and Brittany and all the others, there's no more school. So we picked a new place to gather downtown. It's the Panera right there on State and Congress. They've been filling that place up every day. There's like 7 studies in there one day, 9 studies in there another day this week. It has been a public place of preaching the Word. The other day, they were doing a study with Roderick, who got baptized just this week. And there were too many guys in the study. So Joel said, hey, Carl, Jeremy, why don't you guys go out and share your faith and then while we do the study? About an hour later, they walked back in with Matthew. This was last Monday, guys. Now, Friday, we were there studying the Bible with Matthew. And we're doing the Holy Spirit studies. Those are good studies. And we said, wait a minute, guys, we got to take a break. Come here, Roderick. We all shared how much we love Roderick, and he went off to get baptized while we finished the study with Matthew. You got to preach publicly. That's where the Word is going to spread. You know what's cool about Roderick? He went to high school with Jason. And so this was a real answered prayer for Jason. And speaking of high school, I know Ashley texted me on Friday, "This was my last day ever of high school." Yeah. Crazy! So for Ashley and Anna and Dimitri, I'm blanking here, and Sam, high school over. And Leticia, that's a pretty cool phase of life. Trying to move on. Amen. But you got to preach everywhere. Friday, every Friday we have a discipling time over the phone with India. And as we talked to Raj and Debs, Friday they said, "We just got through studying with a woman. Her husband's studying right now, but God willing, Dekola will be baptized tomorrow." So everywhere, here and abroad. And you know, one of the coolest stories of Casella, who was baptized just this past week, she was saying she went to a church for 3 years and nobody even knew her name. A lot of us have had this experience, where church is somewhere you check in and check out of. It is not like that here. You're going to have trouble getting out today. You know, and knowing that, if we see you bolting during the last song, God knows too. Amen? So, because we fellowship around here, guys. Amen? But Casella shared, she found an invite to Women's Day because JL and Elise, I believe, had prayed and left a bunch of invites all over, and like little fishing hooks, you know. And she actually found one, and here's what she said Friday night that really got me. She said it was so beautiful, the invite. And I thought of Jackie. Because Jackie made those invites. And if she'd have picked that invite up and said, "That's ugly, I'm not going to that thing." You know. But you did such a great job. And that's just awesome. So everywhere. And however. Word of mouth. Invite. Whatever's going to work. That's where you got to preach the word. When? We already talked about daybreak till noon. Don't worry. We're not going to get legalistic. We're not going to change church times based on that one. We don't want to be legalistic. We want to be evangelistic. Amen, guys? That's what we want to be. But when do we preach? Anytime. All the time. It's the song Patrick sings. Highway, byway, all the time. We can't stop. They never stopped teaching and preaching that Jesus was the Christ. Look in Acts 13. When do we preach the word? In Acts 13:36, there's a really cool verse about David. It says, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers and his body decayed." When do we preach? As long as we're alive, guys. And as long as the people we're preaching to are alive, they have a chance. Some of you remember the singles retreat we had not too long ago. We had a pretty out of himself brother, Vic Ortiz from New York City. He called Kathy Brozick gangster. You remember him? Vic's awesome, brother. Well, his mom, Carmen, has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. She was given 3 months to live. And Vic prayed, just let her live long enough to become a disciple. She outlived that 3 month. And last Wednesday night, she was baptized into Christ. And I have the most beautiful picture of Vic and his mom, and her head is bald from the chemotherapy. Well, she's right. She can be at peace. And please keep praying as she's undergoing some pretty intense chemotherapy. As long as you're alive, it's not too late. And I love what Lucy said earlier. When they got their purpose back on straight, everything worked. God's purpose is not done with you yet, because I don't think anybody there is dead. Any of y'all dead? Okay, no, you're still alive. Some of you might look dead. I mean, you know, but you're not, right? So God is not done with you yet. Why? do we preach? Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Verse 9. One of the most powerful things Jesus had to say to His disciples here. He's telling them what's going to happen when he dies, when He's gone, and when they preach the Word. Then, you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you'll be hated by all nations because of Me. And we understand, you can't be hated by all nations unless all nations know you. So we know they got to all the world. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. We're talking about the fallaways. They understood, but they turn away. All those been baptized recently, it's been amazing. 12 new souls this month. You're not guaranteed a ticket. You must stay faithful till the day you die. Trials, dark on every hand, are going to come and test your faith. Many will turn away. I want to help you understand how not to. And when they turn away from the faith, they'll betray and hate each other. See, guys, sometimes we get persecuted as a church. People call us a cult. People that used to be members now call us a cult. And people go, how come they would ever do that to you? See, they don't know the Scriptures. It's pretty clear right here why. If you turn away and don't want to obey God anymore, you don't like anyone telling you to. And so you hate them. Really, you hate God. I mean, it's right here. But religion, how could that be? Why would y'all be hated? Y'all must have done something. Not necessarily. Not something wrong. Not necessarily. I'm not saying we haven't. We all make a lot of mistakes. But that doesn't mean that's the reason someone turns away. They'll betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And here's the bottom line. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And they did, and that's why they were hated by all nations. Why do we preach? Well, there are a lot of reasons. But we preach so that everybody won't grow cold. It is the Word of God that strengthens us, that gives us our purpose back, so that we can know God, so that we can know the truth, the Bible, the basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what they are. But how many don't have the instruction manual? Or don't have it out? In 2 Corinthians 7, 8 to 11, you can look at it later, Paul preaches a letter to the Corinthian church and it hurts them. It causes sorrow. Paul says, I didn't want to cause you sorrow, but I'm glad I did. Because you didn't have worldly sorrow, like, whoops, I'm caught. You had godly sorrow. And you realize you needed to change. Remember the weeping? They were weeping. It's good to weep over our sin. But not just to have pity for ourselves. But to weep over what we've done, that to hate God, hate other people, betray them, and hurt them. Because of the increase of wickedness in our life. I remember my sin and repentance study. I remember confessing my sin, all the wickedness. And making a decision because they called me to repent and to change. Then there can be a clear conscience. It's one of the greatest gifts of God. You don't have to walk around with gunk on your conscience. You can be free. And then there's the joy, like hasn't been since the days of Joshua's celebration. Because you repent and it's of God. This is why we preach the Word. because people can be set free. There's either increase of wickedness and coldness of love, or decrease of wickedness and warming up of love. That's what's awesome about the church. Amen? And lastly, how? How do we preach? Well, it said it very clearly. It was so that the people could understand. Our goal is not just to be grandiose. It's to help people understand what they're reading, the Scriptures.
Amen.
Take a look with me at Colossians 4. I'm coming. Colossians 4, verse 2.
Come on, bro.
It says here, devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it how? Clearly, as I should. We want to proclaim it clearly. Look at Matthew 28. Too many churches, it's so vague, it's so unclear. There's no clear teaching before you join, and so most of the members have different opinions. In Matthew 28, Jesus is very clear on what we need to do. Matthew 28, 18. He says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to what?
Obey.
To what?
Obey.
To what? What?
Obey.
Obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. How do we teach? With an expectation of obedience. And that's why people love us or hate us. Because they either want to be taught to obey or they don't want to be taught to obey. I don't want to obey God, so talk to the hand. Get away from me. We know when we're rebellious. But Jesus didn't say, go just teach them, just spread the word and let people figure it out. He said, teach him to obey. We're supposed to do it with an expectation of obedience. Ephesians 6. When you do that, you're going to need this. In Ephesians 6, verse 19, Paul says, pray for me. And yes, we got to pray for each other. That will be clear. And it says, pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will, what? Fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it how? Fearlessly as I should. Who's this to? Every one of you. Every one of you are called by God to understand and then to declare what you understand fearlessly so others can understand. If you're not doing it, you're not a Christian. You're not saved. You're not going to heaven. You've been lied to and told if you attend church, you go to heaven. That's a lie. You're going to hell. And I hope it makes sense to you. This is not foggy. It makes it, you gotta understand it. Once you understand it, you gotta teach someone else so they understand it. If you're not doing that, you're caught up in religion. You might as well go worship the Aggies of Texas. This is not unclear. But some of us want to be deceived. We want teachers around to say what we want to hear. Just go to church, be a good person. What's that? We are called to understand it, and if we do, you're accountable. Now you got to decide, do you love God? And do you love people? And then we got to go share it with other people. Anything else is a joke. It's why atheists exist, because they think Christianity's a joke. And lastly, how do we proclaim the word? It was the first thing we read earlier. As one man. John 17. In John 17, Jesus prays. Verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone, meaning the believers who understand. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. See what we're talking about? It's very clear. That all of them may be one, Father. Just as you're in me and I'm in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. That's it. It's very simple. But Jesus prayed that we've got to be brought to unity. We aren't just naturally one man. We aren't. That's why we need the Bible studies. We don't want to be a church where someone comes in, what do you believe? You get 10 different answers from 10 different members. You won't get that here. Because we study the Scriptures. They're clear. They're not vague. They're really clear. And we know that individually we can't be this example to the world. But when you come and you see us, black, white, Spanish, Asian, right? Mexicano, right? Cracker Rican. We got it all up in here. We're a mixture. But we love each other. Let me quote a scripture from 1 Samuel. Then the terror of the Lord fell on the people and they turned out as one man. Those of you that aren't totally united, you don't fear God. I'm not here for people. I fear God. That's why I come to church. That's why I'm not missing. People miss. It isn't because of us. It's because they don't fear God. But when we fear God, we understand. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Since then we know it is fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. The literal translation there is to twist their arm. Because this is the truth. It's not subjective. It's the truth. And so we've got to proclaim it as one man. You know, in this church, because of all the diversity, and that's the way it should be. There's never meant to be an all-white church. No. There's never meant to be an all-black church. The only reason Latinos are downstairs is they're speaking a different language. Not because we don't like them that much. Same thing. All of us are one. But it presents a lot of issues. Because we grow up culturally understanding different things. Yeah. And so some people come into church, and I've talked to some of the brothers and sisters, and they come in, and there's a rap. And they're like, a rap. Didn't the devil create rap music? But then other people get up and sing, and it's just boring to some people. You guys know what I'm talking about. Some of us, it's like my big fat Greek wedding. You ever see that? When they go to his parents, it's like... And when they go to the Greek with... Blah, 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 you know... And it is hard. There are challenges, even in the church, to help people understand. We're not here to worship a black way or a white way. We just want to worship in spirit and in truth. And we want to worship as one. You know, we don't want to, I need to stand on my right to be a little disengaged. That's my right as an individual, as an American. God bless America. Oh, no. I'm into it. This is me into it. Come on. That's okay. It's clear who's with us and who's not. That's okay. It's clear who's with God and who's not. We want everybody to be with God. That's why we work really hard. You know, I love what Carl does. Not because it's rap or it's not, but you look in Carl's eyes and you hear his words. It is spirit and it is truth. It brought me to leap with joy. And I love what Hillary did. That song brings me to tears every time. It brings me to tears that they'll be going to London soon and I'll have to go over there to hear it. You know? We're one. How do you proclaim it? As one man. You know, I want you to turn to Hebrews 13. We'll close there. Who are you not going to speak to? Who are you not going to preach to? Who are you not going to proclaim to? There's a scripture that makes me realize you better talk to everybody. And it's in Hebrews 13. Verse 1. Don't let the wickedness get you cold, guys. If you have any problems with anybody else in this church or anybody, go before the Lord. Get reconciled. Try it on your own. Sometimes it's hard. I know that. If you have trouble reconciling, then you do what the Bible says in Matthew. You grab somebody else and take them with you, and they'll help reconcile it. They'll be neutral. And that's my vow as a disciple, not to play favorites, but to be neutral and to call what's the truth and to bring unity together. But it says here in verse 1 of chapter 13, keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some of you have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, what if you have an angel on over and you do a half poor job of entertaining them? And then you get on up to heaven and an angel walks on up to you. It says, like, an angel got to be beast. You know?
Hey, remember me? You ate that last piece of pie. Huh?
You imagine? You meet an angel on the street and you don't share with them? And it was an angel? Our poet in residence wrote a little poem, Paul, that angels are here. It's in his book that he put out. Here's a little bit of it. Angels are here on earth. They're dressed in pants and skirts. They can be the person you treated like dirt. Yes, there are angels on earth. The person you avoid on the street and think is a creep could be the angel you need to meet. Let's make it perfectly clear. Angels are everywhere. I mean, come on, guys. I need to confess I lied to you. I'm going to read one more scripture. 2 Timothy 4. Trying his line. Amen. Amen. Trying his line. 2 Timothy. We just got to close out right here. How can you have a sermon called Preach the Word and not close out in 2 Timothy 4? It just would be ungodly. So, I hope we've learned some good things today about why we preach the Word, about who we preach, what we preach, where we preach, when we preach, why we preach, and how we preach. In the end, we're going to preach to anyone, anywhere, anytime, any way we can. And we're going to see people like we saw today, like we've seen all week. The field is ripe for the harvest. We just got to pray for workers. So 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, in the presence of God, and in Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the Word. God bless you. Amen.